Hello, this is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
This is Detective David Love.
Welcome to our show.
So today we're honored and excited to have an elder leader of the Lekaria tribe in the in Australia's Darwin Northern Territory named Billawarra Lee, who'll be coming on in about 15 minutes.
She's an Australian Aboriginal who's an elder. She's part of an international group. She's the leader of, I believe, the Aboriginal elders of her tribe. She's written two books, and she's a healer. She's a
spiritual teacher.
And I guess an Aboriginal political figure.
Right, yes. She's internationally known. She's written a book called Star Dreaming, and there's also a second book, which I just don't have in front of me the title at the moment, but we're very honored to have her. We've known Billawarra for quite a while now. I think we've known her for at least a year. We've been friends on Facebook, and we've spoken for her quite a few times. She has a lot of interesting things to say about ancient Aboriginal wisdom and sacred knowledge, so she'll have a lot to talk about as far as Aboriginal culture and society in Australia.
And in fact, I mean, this ties in with something that David and I have been quite interested in over the past few months, that is looking into the culture and the wisdom of Indigenous people around the world and what they can teach us, and the vast amount of wisdom they have compared to, I guess, Western society, which is focused on science and much more on, I guess, the present time rather than past mythology.
Right.
It's interesting. I'm sure that Billawarra will also be talking quite a bit about the dream time, and which is the, I guess, spiritual belief of the Aboriginals. But compared to perhaps to other Indigenous peoples, it's interesting. The Aboriginals, I believe, consider themselves to still be living in the dream time, so it's still
right.
Part of the past and the present moment are interlinked. And I'm sure she'll also be talking about the rainbow snake. The snake is a very important part of the Aboriginal culture, and I was just looking through Indigenous cultures and noting that in fact the snake does feature in a lot of Aboriginal cultures, including the Indians, native Indians in America, and in Buddhist mythology. Fascinating.
I think it's fascinating in the sense that, of course, both of us study mysticism and ancient mystical philosophy as a means for personal growth in the modern age on the show and in our lives, but snakes and serpents are really interesting to both of us, because I know in the Dark Ages and in the Middle Ages and going all the way back to biblical times, the snake and the serpent basically represented the devil or evil and the source of all evil. And people, there was so much folklore and legends and about serpents, you know, sort of a lot of fear-based mythology around snakes and misconceptions.
At the same time, there's a lot of mythology around snakes that focuses on incredible mystical power and the positive and creative force of snakes. And it's interesting when you think about being a doctor myself, I know that the symbol of medicine is two snakes around the staff.
Right.
And you know, that those snakes symbolize healing, and we also know, for example, that snakes are an important symbol in Tantra, the Kundalini
energy,
the sexual energy, the vital energy, the vital life force.
That's
right. It's got to be a positive symbol, doesn't it?
Yeah, the vital essence, the life force, which we talk about quite a bit, and I think the two snakes curled around the staff, that comes from Hermeticism, from ancient Hermetic wisdom, and mysticism, which we talked about last night, goes back to Hermes Trismegistus.
Oh, really?
If I'm saying it correctly. And the Emerald Tablets, as above, so below, as within, so without.
She knows so much,
it
don't
goes all of, not
well,
just a little bit of, little bit of this, but it goes all the way back to Moses and the staff, his staff of power, the magic wand, biblical times, and very interesting. It goes in so many different directions,
does,
and there's so many stories, and
I'm sure Bill O'Rourke will be telling us a lot about the rainbow serpent. Certainly living in Australia, we know that over the past 10, 20 years, there's been a great focus on respecting and reviving the culture of the Aboriginals as a way of, I guess, making up for the past where Aboriginals were massacred by the early Europeans. And so there's been an attempt by our government to reverse that. And I believe there is some education of children nowadays for Aboriginal culture. Most Australians will know about the rainbow serpent. And my understanding of that is that it represents very much a power symbol and a life force for the Aboriginal people. So it's fascinating to look at the meaning of serpents. Mm. I'm just reading here from something on sea serpents and other legends of snakes. It says here, mysterious serpents occur not just in ancient myths, but in more modern legends as well. And that mythological snakes that act as forces of good have various roles, such as creating the world, very much with the rainbow serpent, protecting it, or helping humans. So that's really interesting. There's also a myth about a snake. Which culture was this? There's some snake in ancient culture. With the Aboriginals. How the great rainbow snake, Jalangbum, shaped the world. When the human blood dropped into a water hole, Jalangbum grew angry. Maybe not so positive. He sent a wave of water washing across the earth. That sounds like a tidal wave. He swallowed people, plants, and animals. Jalangbum reared up towards the heaven, but an ant spirit bit him and made him vomit up what he had swallowed. This happened again and again until Jalangbum departed from the earth, leaving people, plants, and animals in all parts of it. Okay, so maybe I will have to ask Illawarra a little bit more about that, because I thought the great rainbow snake was a very positive symbol. So
I don't know. It looks like
maybe sometimes he eats people and sometimes vomits them up. I don't know.
It looks like Apep, the god of it's the god of evil in ancient Egypt, and was Ra's nemesis, the sun god.
Maybe.
And I think in Norse mythology, a serpent was the it was a serpent that ate at the tree of life and ate the roots. And so I don't know. You know, we look at with you and I, we talk a lot about duality and non-duality and how we put meaning to things outside of us, which is a popular thought in philosophy and Rosicrucianism, mysticism, and Buddhism. That it's our interpretation,
that's
perception
right.
of the thing outside
right.
of us,
and of course,
the labels
any
we give.
Destructive, so-called destructive forces might not be so destructive for the good of the planet in terms of various forces that destroy. It can also be a huge amount of creation. For example, we know the bushfires in Australia, while they can create great destruction, they can create much new life, because you have a lot of new plants then grow, bushfires can sort of kill off lots of unnecessary sort of pests, and you can have the creation of a lot of new sort of plants growing after bushfires. Say those for volcanoes.
Right.
You've got the cycle of destruction and creation.
Nothing, energy and matter, are neither created nor destroyed. It's sort of like the steady state universe or infinite universe theory. Everything's always there, and we're just creating and destroying, clearing space. Mm.
And I guess the myth of the seeing God or higher power as both a creator and a destroyer is present in the Bible, isn't it? So yes, we'll have to quiz her a little bit more about the way those snake
work. Yeah, I mean, we're always talking about dark and light on the show, darkness and light workers and guardians and light warriors, but I guess it's all really, in the end, it's just our own stories that we make up about life. But
in terms of mythology, one of the things that I've become more and more interested and convinced about is that myths are not just stories that have just been made up. It does appear that a lot of myths have basis in facts.
No, there are underlying truths in, you know, in the Dead Sea Scrolls and so many religions and philosophies about the giants, and certainly there was physical evidence of giants at one time, Anunnaki. This is the track that we're getting on. But
that's right. I had
never heard of reptilians until not too long ago. I mean, I have heard of them, certainly. There was evidence of them in Mesopotamia, ancient history, but
and just for our listeners, if they don't know what we're talking about, the giants are, there's a lot of legends about giants here on Earth.
Titans and...
Supposedly they came from the planet Nibiru, the Anunnaki, and they were very humanoid, and legend goes, there's some evidence to suggest that they actually created humans by genetic engineering, mixing their genes with genes of apes. Thank you very much. I don't like the idea of being genetically created, interesting theory.
Which I don't know if that's part of most Aboriginal and Native American cultures, but,
you'll have to ask for tomorrow.
How they feel.
And then the reptiles are something else, and that's a different sort of, a complete different race of species from humans.
Right.
But they also have humanoid form.
But a lot of people in our network would say the Anunnaki, the reptilians are evil, and anything that's evil is reptilian. And that could be partially true, but I came to this revelation a while ago that most things on the planet are just trying to survive and get by and get their needs met. And I'd say that anything we say that reptilians do and that we accuse them of, human beings are capable of doing and have done. Massacres and all kinds of human atrocities have been committed by humans. So I don't know. It seems that we're the ones that have dominated the planet. Maybe we're pushing out a lot of species like the reptilians, and maybe they're pushing back. I don't know. I mean, certainly I'm not absolving anyone or any species of any responsibility or any of the conspiracy theories or conspiracies that have truth to them that are out there about everything, but just, being open-minded and realizing that we all have a play a role in life and everything that happens, that, we manifest.
Well, yes, it's interesting to consider that. Generalizing never works. Generalizing about races of man doesn't work, and perhaps generalizing about other species doesn't work either. And I have heard there's a huge diversity amongst the human spirits, whether some humans are kind and loving and others are evil. I've heard the same goes for other aliens. So good aliens, bad aliens, it's so different.
No, the good and evil goes up. And I don't go for the excuse that the devil made me do it and I was under mind control and like that. I mean, certainly there's undue influence into the past and all sorts of things that can happen to your life.
And the devil was a fallen angel, so he must have had some good.
Right, the devil was supposedly God's favorite angel and highest angel, so I don't know, it's interesting. But in any case...
We should take a break now and just see whether Bilawar is on, because she's going to come into the show a little bit later, so she might be available now. So why don't we take a break now and then see if we can get onto the show.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love.
This is Lana Love. So we're, Bilawara will be able to join us in 5 minutes, so that'll be very exciting.
Yeah, apparently I didn't realize that Darwin is on a different time zone from Sydney, so
This is usually the problem. I wish all places could at the same time. Yeah. Make it much easier.
It would be. I'm always getting confused with calling friends in the United States, and then we have our teleconferences, and then, you know, interruptions with the internet and broadcasting and solar flares and all these different things that always come up during these.
All right. So while we're waiting for her, I'm going to read out a little bit about the Australian Aboriginal Dream, which is. Which is regarding the Aboriginals' spiritual stories, but their sense that they are still within the dream. In other words, they're still within that spiritual.
Must be like astral projection or an out of body experience, almost. I've done shamanic journeying, so more mental projection.
Okay, so the dreaming or shupurka also means to see and understand the Lord. Australian Aboriginals have the longest continuous cultural history of any group of people on Earth. Estimates date this history between 50,000 and 65,000 years. Very ancient culture. Before European settlement of Australia, there were around 600 different Aboriginal nations based on language groups. So I guess that's something that we Europeans don't realise, that they're actually a very diverse group.
Mm.
So, the relationships between the land, animals, and people. In most stories of the dreaming, the ancestor spirits came to the earth in human form. And as they moved through the land, they created the animals, plants, rocks, and other forms of the land that we know today. They also created the relationships between groups and individuals to the land, the animals, and other people. Once the ancestor spirits departed the world, they changed into trees, the stars, rocks, watering holes, and other objects. That's interesting.
I guess that goes along with my theory of my philosophy of panpsychism, that all things have consciousness, including trees and plants.
It does, because I always, never quite knew what to make of the theory that rocks have consciousness, but,
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure about it. The level of intelligence or emotion, or how you define that, but I think all things have an awareness somehow.
These are the sacred places of Aboriginal culture and have special properties. Oh, so the sacred places are actually because the elements of the land are considered to be ancestor spirits.
Hmm.
Okay, because the ancestors did not disappear at the end of the dreaming, but remained in these secret sites, the dreaming is never ending. Linking the past and the present, the people and the lives. And in the words of one Kakadu elder, our story is in the land. It is written in those sacred places. My children will look after these places, that's the Lord. The creation or dreaming stories, which describe the travels of the spiritual ancestors, are integral to Aboriginal spirituality. In many areas, there are separate spheres of knowledge and learning stories. Knowledge of the law and of the dreaming stories is acquired progressively as people pursue through life. Ceremonies such as initiation ceremonies are avenues for the passing on of this knowledge. And it's really interesting that Aboriginals have such a great respect and sense of responsibility for the lands. And I guess that's something which is in common, that they have in common with many other native indigenous peoples. Should I read on, or do you think Billowine might be on soon?
Maybe not just yet, but it's interesting. I remember when we were talking to Billowara about it's actually her tribe or nation is a female.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Billowara.
Morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air. Welcome to Universal Soul Love.
Thank you, and I feel very honoured to have been invited to come on air.
We're very honored and excited to have you on our show. We've known you for quite a while. We met you several months ago, more than a year ago, I think, when we first spoke to you and became friends with you on Facebook. And it's been a long time in coming, and we're so glad to finally have you on our show to tell us about your life and your exciting stories and
your
books.
I'm very proud to tell our listeners about Aboriginal history and culture, being Australian, and given that our listeners are very much international, many are in America as well as Australia. So, and we've introduced you, and we've also been talking about Aboriginal culture and the dreaming and the rainbow snake. So, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about that and about your work as well.
Right.
Well, my goodness, how much time do we have?
I'd say.
Well,
we probably have about.
I can do it in a pretty broad sense in that, Australia, Indigenous populations are made up of many nations. We're not one big group. And we are acknowledged as the oldest continuous surviving cultures on Earth. It's a very ancient, very deep, we have a very ancient, deep spiritual connection to our land. And I wrote about that in my second book. It is our mother. So, gosh, this could take a long time.
I've talked a bit about the rainbow snake and about the spirits. I just read that, that one of the reasons why Aboriginals have sacred lands is that I believe the ancient spirits that created the world then took on the forms of rocks and mountains and trees and creeks and streams. Is that right?
You're a bit blurry, but I guess I heard that you wanted to talk more about the rainbow serpent, which in my language is Dirla. Now that is a two-edged conversation in that it's probably one of the dreamtime stories that permeates right across Australia, and it is our creator being. And it, in most nations, countries here in Australia, they have their, very sacred site to Dirla, or the rainbow serpent. But I've recently, in the last 3 or 4 years, have travelled. And in fact, I think I'm going to be in California in October at a big workshop where I talk about the ongoing relationship that Aboriginal Australians have had with the star being.
Right.
It's quite a bit of a story, but the star beings are the rainbow serpent beings.
Oh, that's interesting that you say that, and you say that the rainbow serpent is the creator, because that sort of goes along with, I think, the whole...
Well, sometimes in conversations with Christians, I try and say, it's like God. It's our creator being, but it's even got a deeper meaning than that, in that, and I'm not sure whether I actually want to discuss this on radio, but maybe over time, as we get to know each other more, I'll give you that inside story around the rainbow serpent.
I think Christians generally have a different view of snakes and serpents, so I guess we'll leave this one out for now.
I guess we need to talk about the fact that snakes and serpents do feature quite a lot in the mythology of man generally.
Australia.
Sorry?
It's one of the dreamtime stories that is right across Australia.
Yes.
We have other different localised stories, but the rainbow serpent is one that's right across.
And you talk about star beings, and I'm so curious as to whether that could relate to aliens, and of course, over the last few years, the general public is becoming more and more accepting of the existence of aliens.
Right.
They are reptilians, and I have a star guide named Daria who works with me. is reptilian. She's absolutely beautiful. Her skin is a very fine scale that shimmers blue-green. And she said to me, where do you get your stories about the rainbow serpent? And when you look in all Indigenous cultures, and I've had these conversations with many grandmas, that they have been working with us for eons, for generations. And basically, when you look at them, they look like a rainbow serpent.
I've collected
and I've done workshops and presentations presenting very, very carbon-dated ancient rock art from across Australia that supports that information.
Well, that's really interesting because, of course, in the Sumerian cultures, for example, you also have carvings and drawings of reptilian-like beings, although my understanding is that they are more humanoid with like a reptilian perhaps skin and face, but they still have arms and legs.
Well, you and I once had a vision. Yeah. I had a vision of you of a snake goddess of some sort at one time. But we've had our encounters.
Yeah. You know, Laura, reptilians seem to have a bit of a sort of bad press.
And they have a bad rap, don't they?
and we were just talking about the fact that we have to be very careful not to label any race or species as good or bad, that there are good and bad humans. And I have heard that in terms of aliens, there are aliens that are service to self and service to others. There are aliens that support us and those that seek to destroy us.
Just like people.
What would your comment be about that?
Sorry, you blurred out there. Can you sort of, what was the question again?
So I'm asking about reptilians and how some people are frightened of them and generally aliens, some people believe aliens are not here to support humans, others
well,
believe that they are.
You know, I don't know the total truth of it, but I can do a comparison to something that happens in my community in that we have what we call people of high degree. You know, they're not shamans or witch doctors, but they're our people that are the law masters, men and women, who through years of dedicated, you know, practice, knowledge, skills, we call them kadachas. Now, they are the law keepers, and they are the ones that do, I guess for a better word, the magic. Now, there was quite a campaign by the non-Indigenous people to demonise them as being evil and bad and everything else you can think of. You know, they were hunted, they were shot, they were dissected. But believe me, they're not like that at all. And it's almost the same, but as in any race, there's good and there's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But all I can go on is my own personal experience with my guide. That, believe me, she's just pure love and heart. I'm not saying all of her race is the same because I haven't met any of the others, but she definitely isn't. And, you know, there are more than one race out there. And the thing is that Aboriginal people are often perceived as very, I'm trying not to say the very negative words, very backward, very, you know, stupid, whatever. But we, in fact, have so much knowledge that's more than just the world knowledge, it's cosmic knowledge. It's not everyone and it's not all Aboriginal people, but there are certain people of high degree who know and understand and work in this realm. And it's something that I've published two books, Star Dreaming and Healing from the Dilly Bag, and the third book I'm writing will have all this information in. So I guess at my age I'm ready to step up and take the ridicule and the fear and the whatever, but
I'm finding around the world that more and more people are being more open to this information, knowledge that is now being allowed to be shared with the wider world. I've now had conversations with some of my, you know, elders, people of high degree. The ancestors gifted me with an ability to communicate, whether it's verbal or in writing, and so on their behalf. It's time to share this knowledge because we're running out of time, really. We're not just going to be this little dot in the cosmos called Earth with people on it. We have to join a much, much wider... Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. Just before we go on further, I'd just like to tell people about your website. It's www.bilawara, that's bilawara.com.au, Bilawara Star Dreaming.
And you can be found on Facebook as a public figure as well. And
yeah. And, you know, I do travel. It's amazing. I go to America once a year, and I will be there later this year, and I will be doing workshops on these at the Spirit Rising Festival. Yes, I'm starting to talk about it a lot more in the public arena because it's time, because it won't be much further along.
It is. Sorry? We're at this point in the world where it's time for people to speak their truths. And, you know, I've been doing public speaking for at least 3 years now, and I've been very active. And not once have I had one person really be disrespectful to me or really knock me down or debate with me, because I speak with conviction, and I'm generally respectful and open-minded, and I don't try to speak negatively of other people, and I don't try to knock other people's ideas. I listen, I'm empathic, and I do my best, and I think that if you speak your truth and you're compassionate, people will listen, and I hope this is true, and I hope I'm doing this, and that I'm an example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's all. I don't worry.
You know, I'm a grandmother, and I'd like to just stay home and relax, but I've got a job that I have to do, and I guess it's for the benefit of mankind. So that's why I'm, in my own little way, getting out there more, and I will internationally more and more talk about this, because times are coming that are going to change across the planet.
That's for sure. We're at that tipping point now.
Across the cosmos, actually.
Yes.
Billy Warren, can you? I've got an idea of what it is that you're referring to, but perhaps you could.
Sorry,
perhaps you could tell us more about that. What do you see coming?
Oh, wow. It's not something. Yes. Well, I mean, I already see them, and there are certain individuals whose vibration has risen high enough. It's like focusing your eyes in, like focusing a camera in, whereas, you know, three-dimensional people's vision spiritually is blurred. But as you raise your vibration, your eyes come into focus, and you will see them. You will see their crafts. You will see them amongst us. Yes, there are some you have to be careful of, but there are many there who are very anxious to have humanity become the eighth nation of the Galactic Federation, which it's the eight is, but it's on its side. It's the affinity sign, because they want us to grow up and our vibrations to open up, our hearts, to have our hearts open. And I've had these conversations, and I'm not going to say the names, but they are world leaders. And they know, they understand, that they're going to come to welcome us into the Galactic Federation. But we have to be grown up enough to be able to do that. We're getting there, but oh boy, it's slow. Yourselves, myself, you know, we're being sent energy from the cosmos. I actually see it like stardust. And it's to come into our hearts. It's like the fuel tank of your car. It's to come into our heart chakra so we can fuel our spiritual journey. And we have to live spiritual lives without soul influences to raise our vibrations high enough to become part of this absolutely wonderful evolutionary change that has to happen.
So, Billawari, you're talking about the shift, then, no doubt. The shift that's so many...
The shift of the ages has already happened, but, you know, a shift doesn't happen within seconds. It takes time. And I guess on the scale of Mother Earth, it takes years.
But paradigm.
We're shifting. You know, I'm 65 next week, and since I was a baby, they've been saying to me soon that we are going to lose thousands of people through disease, disaster, and depression because some people are not able to make that shift, that somehow they physically can't, you know, change. So that's why we're going through such terrible times at the moment. I just encourage your listeners not to become disabled, not to suffer so much from disaster fatigue. That some, there is, we don't have a word in our language for coincidence. Things happen for a reason, you know, whether they're really good or really bad, but we must keep ourselves safe. Mind, body, spirit.
Billawari, do you see that, I mean, we're just talking about, you know, non-duality and how there's no good or bad, and with destruction comes creation. So would it be, within your understanding, within the context of the dream time and the, your connection with the star people, would you say that Earth is actually needing to have a good shake-up and
cleansing,
cleanse?
Cleansing, a clearing.
I'm sorry, but I can hardly hear you. I didn't get that question.
Would you say that Earth needs to have a good shake-up and a cleansing?
I don't know whether shake-up would be the word.
Cleansing or a clearing, perhaps?
Sorry?
A cleansing or a clearing, maybe?
Well, we're going through that. And as I said, you know, when you look at the scale of Mother Earth and Mother Nature and the cosmos, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes years, maybe.
Right.
Although it is quicker now. It takes weeks, months. But we are going through a huge clean now. We are going through the cleansing of humanity through disease, disaster, and depression.
Why is it that we need this? What is your understanding of the purpose?
Sorry?
Why do we need this?
Climactic change, earthquakes, wars, that sort of thing, that this escalation that we're seeing in the world.
I don't have all the answers, but possibly it's Mother Earth shifting. Her vibration has risen by 6 seconds. I mean, scientifically, since the tsunami in Japan and the earthquakes in Chile, the Earth is rotating 6 seconds faster a day, I think it is, they said the other day. And the... See, we are spiritual beings with a body and a soul, which is your consciousness or ego. Now, some people are so connected to the negative energy of materialism, you know, living in a self-indulgent way in life rather than living a spiritual life for community or family. And everybody seems really worried about everybody else's business, not their own. I mean, really, you can only do your own spiritual journey, and parents, you know, help their children along till they're old enough. So how else, I've thought about this a lot, how else can humanity change if there weren't these things? You know, I work as a spiritual healer. I am an acknowledged traditional healer. And I do talk to people that have gone through disasters. And, you know, often they say, you know, when this happened, and I've gone through Cyclone Tracy and things like that, they go, my life flashed between my eyes, you know, in front of my eyes, and I thought about my life, and oh my God, I should have done things differently. And, you know, what's important, it's the people in my life who I love, not my car or my job. So it's almost like sometimes people are so dug into their way of life that they need a huge jolt to make them think. And I don't know whether that's the full answer, but perhaps. It's just that I've spoken to so many people who have said, this happened and it made me reassess my life. And often a lot of them turn to a more spiritual way of being, which is beautiful to see, but sad that they went through a trauma. And some people just won't acknowledge or accept that they must change. And from my community, death is not the end. I work quite closely with my father and my auntie who have passed, because they're my ancestral spirits. So, and this is something I teach in the hospital and the medical system, that death is not looked at the same way as other cultures, I guess, in that you die but you come back. So maybe on a bigger scheme, so many people dying is dreadful and sad for those that are left behind. But really, once you've crossed over, it's quite different. You can see what you've done in your life. Perhaps you can learn some lessons. And perhaps with those lessons and knowledge, you come back again at a higher vibration.
We have to finish very soon, about 2 minutes.
Yes.
Could you, perhaps before we finish, could you give the people, what message would you like to give people about how best to approach this shift?
The one thing that I try and encourage the people that I work with is to try and stop, be still, be silent. You know, you all have ancestral spirits that are trying desperately to work with you, to communicate with you. But if you live really busy lives on the phone, on technology, running around, doing, they can't get through. So I often make the people I do workshops with sit quiet. It's a really hard thing for people to do. They seem to feel that they have to be doing stuff. So I'm just saying, be still, be quiet, and let the messages come through to you. Your ancestors will guide you.
Very true, very true.
That's a very reassuring message. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. That's a message I put out quite a bit about finding your center of power, your center, and balance yourself and feel at peace through meditation or, you know,
in my book I teach people a very fundamental thing that I learned as a child all the way through is to ground yourself, balance yourself, protect yourself, and put your filters up so no negative energy can come within.
That's right, you go within. Otherwise you can't, like you said, if you're always focused on everything outside of you, you can't receive messages from outside.
That's right. You're
preoccupied with, and you're focused on the information outside of you rather than what's within you.
And people can attend your workshops in California, did you say?
I'm going to the Spirit Rising Festival in California. But, you know, I've been over to different areas. If I'm invited, I will go and I will talk.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure people would love to attend your workshop. Thank you very much, Bilawara. It's really an honor to have on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And much love to you all. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Okay, well,
lots of love.
Lots of love to you. And
yeah,
This podcast will come out perfectly. We can hear you fine, even though you're on your cell phone. This will all work out well when it's put out on Apple Store. And thank you so much for being on our show. And
that's okay.
Much
love, to you, hope, and joy to you all.
Thank you so much, Billamara.
Okay.
Bye bye. Dr. Lala Love
and David Love.
Okay. Bye now.